Okay, so have you ever signed a waiver maybe before like a ski trip or joining a new gym
Yeah.
and just been like, well, that's that.
Totally.
But have you ever like wondered if that signature like really prevents a lawsuit
Right.
years later, even if things go wrong in like totally unexpected ways?
Yeah, that's a great question, and it's something we're going to unpack in this deep dive.
Right.
We're looking at Paralift Inc. v. Superior Court.
Yeah.
It's a California case, and it's really important for understanding how enforceable liability waivers are.
Gotcha. So kind of like a legal stress test for
Oh,
those
this is
agreements,
insane.
especially in like recreational activities.
Right.
Cool. So for all of you out there like navigating law school and everything,
Yeah.
especially like contract law and tort law, this case is like pure gold.
For sure.
It shows that tension between personal responsibility and when a business is accountable.
Yeah, that balance is key.
For sure. So yeah, buckle up, future lawyers.
Okay, so we've been like digging through the actual legal documents,
Oh.
the court opinions, the procedural history,
Wow.
all the legal reasoning.
So we're going straight to the source.
Exactly.
All right, so our mission
Yeah.
is to distill those key legal principles that determine if these waivers actually hold up in court.
Right.
And we'll use the Paralift case as our main example.
Okay.
So by the end, you'll understand the power and the limits of those waivers you sign.
All right, so let's set the scene.
Okay.
1991,
Okay.
Alan David Levin, he
Okay.
was a skydiver,
Cool.
and not just any skydiver. He had over 900 jumps.
Wow, 900 jumps.
Yeah.
That's not a beginner.
No, not at all. So this wasn't someone who didn't understand the risks.
Right, he knew what he was getting into.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
tragically, at the Del Mar Fairgrounds during a jump
Okay.
from a Paralift aircraft, Levin disconnected his parachute.
Oh no.
And yeah, it was fatal.
That's so sad.
Yeah, it's a really heartbreaking situation. And here's where the law gets really interesting. So 3 years before this jump, Levin has signed a liability waiver with Paralift,
Oh wow.
and it seemed pretty broad.
So you'd think that would cover this kind of accident.
Right, you would think so.
Yeah, so can you tell us more about like what the waiver actually said?
Okay, so the waiver was very detailed. It had no expiration date.
Wow. So it was like forever?
Yeah, basically. And the language was super broad. It covered any parachuting activity.
Kenny.
Yeah, any conducted by Paralift.
Wow, they really tried to cover everything.
Yeah, and it even said that Levin waived perilous liability,
Okay.
even for their own negligence.
So even if they messed up,
Exactly.
that's huge.
It is. And on top of that, Levin initialed the document in 22 places.
22 places.
Yeah, and they even had a waiver explanation session with a video
Oh, wow.
that told people to get legal advice before signing.
So they were very thorough.
They really were.
So, I mean, you'd think that would be the end of it, right?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Waiver sign accident happened. Case closed.
Right, but that's not what happened.
Oh, right, because Levin's heir sued.
They did.
So what was their argument?
Well, they said that this particular jump at Del Mar, under those specific circumstances, wasn't covered by the waiver.
So they were saying the waiver was broad,
Right.
but it didn't apply here.
Exactly. They were trying to poke holes in that legal shield.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So how did the trial court handle this?
Well, surprisingly, the trial court sided with the plaintiffs.
Really?
Yeah, at least partially. They said there were tribal issues of fact
Okay.
about Paralift's duty of care and if they breached it.
So the court thought there were enough questions to have a trial.
Yeah, they weren't totally convinced by the waiver.
Interesting. So then it went to the appellate court
Right.
and things changed.
Yeah, Paralift wasn't happy with the trial court's decision,
Okay.
so they went to the appellate court and asked for a writ of mandate.
A writ of mandate.
Yeah.
I feel like some of our listeners might not know what that is.
Right. So basically, it's an order from a higher court to
Okay.
the lower court
Gotcha.
saying, hey, you messed up legally.
So fix it.
Right. In this case, Paralift was arguing that the trial court should have granted them summary judgment
Okay.
based on the waiver.
Right, because they were saying the waiver was ironclads. So
Exactly.
what is summary judgment?
Well, it's a way for a court to decide a case without a full trial.
Okay.
It happens when there are no real disagreements about the facts,
Ah.
and the law clearly favors one
I
side.
see. So Paralith was saying
Yeah.
there's no need for a trial because the waiver settles it.
Exactly.
Interesting. So the appellate court steps in with this writ of mandate
Right.
and they reverse the trial court's decision.
Yeah, they sided with Paralift.
Okay, so what was their reasoning?
This is the heart of the case, and it's all about how we decide if waivers are enforceable.
Okay.
The appellate court used a four-part test.
A four-part test?
Yeah, to figure out if the waiver was valid.
Okay, so let's break down this test.
Right.
It was a first part.
The waiver has to clearly and specifically say it waives claims for negligence.
Okay, so it's like no room for interpretation.
Exactly. The court looked at the Paralift waiver,
mm-hmm.
and they said it was clear.
Oh.
It said Levin released them from liability for any parachuting activities.
Right.
And it mentioned negligence specifically.
So they were happy with that part.
Yeah.
What's the second part of the test?
Okay, so the second part is that the person signing doesn't have to know the exact risk that ends up hurting them.
Okay.
So the court said that by signing this waiver for skydiving,
mm-hmm.
Levin accepted the inherent risks.
Even if he couldn't predict every single thing that could go wrong.
Exactly.
So it's about accepting the general idea of danger.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay, what about the third part?
All right, so the third part says the waiver doesn't have to list out every single possible negligent act.
Okay.
Imagine trying to list every single way a skydiving company could mess up.
That'd be a really long waiver.
Right, it would be impossible.
Yeah.
So a general waiver that covers negligence related to the activity is enough.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, what's the fourth and final part?
The negligence that happened has to be related to the inherent risks of the activity.
So in this case,
yeah.
skydiving.
Exactly. So the court said, even if Paralift was negligent somehow,
okay.
as long as it was connected to the risks of skydiving,
mm-hmm.
the waiver would still protect them.
So even if they made a mistake,
yeah.
it had to be a mistake that was like specific to skydiving.
Right.
Not just like any random mistake.
Exactly.
Okay, that's a really important distinction.
It is.
Were there any like specific examples from the case that show how the court used this test?
Yeah, definitely. So for the first part about clear language,
mm-hmm.
the court kept saying clear and unequivocal waiver.
They really emphasized that.
Yeah. And for the second part,
right.
they pointed out that Levin had jumped in Del Mar four times before.
Right.
So they figured he knew the waiver applied there.
Even though it didn't say Del Mar specifically.
Exactly. And for the fourth part about the negligence being related to skydiving, they said the inherent risks include things like
okay.
the plane, the equipment, stuff like that.
So if there was a problem with those things
right.
and it was negligence,
uh-huh.
the waiver would still apply.
Exactly. They even quoted another case.
Oh, wow.
That said, if you release someone from liability for any negligence,
okay.
that applies to any negligent act as long as it's reasonably connected to the activity.
Interesting.
Yeah. So that really shows how they applied the test.
Gotcha. So I'm thinking,
yeah.
what about the public interest?
Right.
Like, is it okay to allow such a broad waiver?
Yeah, that's a good question. The plaintiffs actually argued that it would violate public policy
okay.
to enforce this waiver.
But what did the court say?
Well, the court said there's a big difference between recreational activities
okay.
like skydiving,
uh-huh.
which you choose to do,
right.
and essential services.
Like hospitals.
Exactly. Things you need.
Yeah.
So waivers for recreational activities are more likely to be upheld. Because it's about personal responsibility.
Right. If you choose to do something risky,
yeah, yeah.
you accept the risks.
Exactly.
So they rejected the public policy argument in this case.
They did.
Because skydiving is a choice.
Right.
Gotcha. So the court's basically saying there's a difference between signing a waiver for fun
uh-huh.
and signing one for something you need.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Right.
So this case also mentions assumption of risk.
It does.
Can you explain how that fits in?
Sure. So there's express assumption of risk.
Okay.
Which is what we have here with the waiver.
So Levin literally signed a paper saying he assumes the risk.
Exactly.
Okay. And then there's implied assumption of risk.
Right.
What's that?
So that's the idea that if you do something risky,
okay.
you're basically agreeing to the risks just by participating.
So like everyone knows skydiving is dangerous.
Right.
So if you go skydiving,
yeah.
you're accepting that risk.
Exactly.
Even without a waiver.
Right.
Gotcha. So the court's decision was mainly about the waiver.
Uh-huh.
But the fact that skydiving is inherently risky
yeah.
helped their decision.
It did.
Okay, cool. So for all the future lawyers listening,
yeah.
what's the big takeaway from this Paralift case?
Well, it shows how important it is to write really clear waivers, especially for businesses that do recreational activities.
Okay.
The more specific and comprehensive the language,
yeah,
the better.
So no vague language.
Oh, keep it clear.
Gotcha. And it also shows that waivers that cover the inherent risks
mm-hmm.
are more likely to be enforced.
Okay.
But be careful with unclear language.
Right.
Because courts might interpret that against you.
And then the waiver could be useless.
Exactly.
So it's all about balancing
yeah.
personal responsibility
uh-huh.
and making sure businesses are accountable.
Right. Finding that balance is key.
So to wrap up our deep dive into Paralift Inc. Superior Court,
yeah.
the main lesson is clear and comprehensive waivers for recreational activities
right.
are strong.
They can be enforceable even years later
right.
and under different circumstances.
As long as the risks are inherent to the activity
right.
and the language is broad and clear.
Exactly.
The court was very clear about that.
Yeah, they were. So this case also highlights
yeah.
how important it is for the negligence
right.
to be connected to the risks of the activity.
That's crucial.
And also that difference between
uh-huh.
voluntary fun
yes.
stuff
yeah.
and essential things.
Yeah, that distinction is key.
So here's something for you to think about.
Okay.
Given all of this,
yeah.
how far should the scope of a waiver actually go?
Mm.
And what about the ethics?
Right.
When someone experienced knows the risks,
uh-huh.
but does something unpredictable.
Right.
That maybe even hurts themselves.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
It makes you wonder,
yeah.
where do we draw the line?
Yeah, where does the business's protection end?
Right.
And where does the individual's responsibility begin?
Exactly.
It's a really interesting question.
It is. It's about finding that balance.
Absolutely.
In those risky activities we all love.
Yeah, that's the key takeaway here.
Thanks for joining us for another deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We'll see you next time.
Sounds good.